Stephen Main is a regular contributor to this program, and he's noteworthy in that he must be the singularly most unsuccessful candidate for positions as directors of boards and God knows what else. He's on the phone, and the story may have changed. G'day, Stephen.
How are you, Smithy?
Well, how many elections have you stood for?
I've had 37 consecutive defeats in contested elections, so that excludes getting the presidency of the chess club in no contest and president of the kinder in no contest. But in terms of contested elections, I lost in 31 public company AGM board tilts and another six other ones, such as the RACV against Peter Costello in his seat, against Jeff Kennett in his old seat, Melbourne Lord Mayor in 2001. So I've racked up a few defeats over the years, that's for sure.
And mate, have, like the America's Cup, has this great unbroken run turned today?
Well, it has. I threw the hat in the ring for my local council, Manningham Council in Melbourne's eastern suburbs, and came second in the primary vote and got elected. So I'm just about to hop in the car and go off to the declaration of the poll. I put my suit on, I've got the kids packed, and I'm a councillor.
Funny stuff, Stephen Main. Congratulations on your appointment as a councillor. There is plenty more happening in the business world, and if I can just grab a moment of your time and expertise to comment on the BHP and Rio bid. It's now off. These two companies will not come together. Have you got any insight into the amount of money that was spent in legal fees in that debacle?
Well, it's well over $1 billion in overall advisory fees, and sort of the lawyers do chew through a lot of that because they had to get regulatory clearance from the European Commission and all sorts of other countries. So in terms of the lawyers, I would be guessing that of that billion, it would be probably north of $100 million. One of the great lawyers picnics. It was one of the great picnics for all sorts of advisors. The investment bankers have obviously been paid many, many tens of millions of dollars, and if the deal had gone through, the total fees and costs would have actually been $7 billion, which would have been the biggest free lunch in the history of commerce for all those advisors and bankers and lawyers who put big transactions together.
It's just gobsmacking to think about this economic stimulus package that the government is putting forward and the amount of money going to pensioners and carers and what have you. It's not much short of what would have been spent just to merge two companies together.
Yeah, and when you consider that the European Commission was probably always going to block it anyway, it was a crazy adventure for the BHP Billiton board to pursue.
Adventure.
And when you look at the share price movements since they walked away last week, the change in relative value in the two companies is now well over $40 billion. So yeah. BHP was clearly paying massively too much to give away 42% of their company in return for taking on Rio Tinto's $65 billion debt, which is what's the real poison in Rio Tinto at the moment. So it was just harebrained, ridiculously expensive, and thank God they came to their senses at 5 minutes to midnight and walked away.
God save us. We have a lot to be down on the merchant banks for, and this sort of adventure is, it's a typical example. It's what's got us into this financial crisis.
Well, I'd agree with that. I mean, the investment bankers have always got a conflict of interest because they always promote deals because they get a percentage of the deal.
Yep.
So if you're promoting the world's biggest ever takeover, which at one point, when the top of the resources bubble, the whole combined company was going to be worth close to $500 billion and was going to be in the top three or four companies in the world by market capitalization, if you're clipping the ticket for 0.5% or 0.7% of transaction value, well, of course it's your biggest ever payday. So I reckon BHP should have put these boys on an hourly rate.
The Reserve Bank meets tomorrow. The sort of consensus view of the speculators and commentators is that they'll cut very hard. What do you reckon?
Look, I think they have to. The economy's fallen off a cliff. I mean, and we've still got close to the highest interest rates in the world. So why are we at 5.25% when the Americans are at 1, the Japanese are at 0.3. We've already come down rapidly. We went up way too high, and the economy's hit the wall. And I think interest rates should be down to 2 or 3% by middle of next year, provided that our currency doesn't fall below 50 if that was to happen, because you've just got to stimulate the economy. And the best way to do it, forget about $10 billion and $1,000 checks for pensioners. But the best way to do it is to cut home mortgage rates. I mean, the 3 percentage point cut we've already had in the last few months is the equivalent of $30 billion.
Yeah.
It's massive benefit when you've got the $1 trillion of household debt sitting there, and, you know, Australians are the second most indebted household in the world after the Brits. The best thing you can do is cut rates, and we've got to be cutting them and cutting them fast.
It's fascinating to me that in Canberra all the talk is about federal government budget deficit, so deficit for the federal government. Nobody's talking about current account deficit. Nobody's talking about household indebtedness and exhorting Australians to roll their sleeves up, work hard and reduce their debt.
Well, that's what we've got to do. We've been having a hell of a party for the last few years, and now the households owe $1 trillion, the foreign debt's $620 billion, and we're racking up $60 billion a year in current account deficit. And the other big one you didn't mention, Smithy, was state governments. The state governments are net borrowers to the tune of about $20 billion this year. Queensland's in there for $6 or $7 billion, I think it is. So the states are borrowing massively, and there's barely been a dollar borrowed by the different state government borrowing authorities since Kevin Rudd did his bank guarantee, because the state debts aren't guaranteed directly by the government. So there's a bit of a liquidity issue, I think, coming with the state governments. And the whole focus just on the federal deficit or surplus is a real sideshow compared to the national deficit, the national debt, the big financing challenges within the states, and these sort of issues.
One last quick one, Stephen. While I have you on, speaking with Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist. The Water Commission in Queensland, chaired by Elizabeth Nosworthy, has been in the news a good deal of late. Similarly, a corporate entity that she's associated with, Babcock & Brown. Can you bring us up to speed? What's happening with them?
Well, Elizabeth has taken over as the chairman. She's had a long association with Babcock. They're still suspended today. The shares are at 25 cents. They're in dispute with a German bank, which has frozen $200 million. Across the whole Babcock, the dysfunctional Babcock family of funds, there's about $50 billion owed, and there's been, must be close to $10 billion destroyed. So, Elizabeth Nosworthy, as a long-serving director, clearly it's highly embarrassing. And when you throw in the fact that she's also chairman of a company called Commander Communications, which went belly up a few months ago, if I was the Queensland government, I'd be asking questions about the business record of the water chairman.
We may well have the opportunity to do that with the Premier sometime soon, I hope so. Thanks for speaking with us, Stephen.
Thanks, Smithy. All the best, mate.
And congratulations on your appointment as a councillor.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I must be off to the formal declaration now.
Well, you enjoy.
Will do.
All the best. Ta-da. Yes, it's 17 to 5 on 4BC. 4BC!